Welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We're into the second hour this Monday, the 13th of October. October flying in, isn't it? Not too long now before the Halloween holidays. A couple of weeks, isn't it? Let's get to some of your comments as we move forward here. In relation to fire damage, says this listener, I started my car at the house, I left it running and went into the house to grab my child like we so often do. Within minutes, the house started filling with smoke as the car had went on fire. Thankfully, due to the fast response of the fire service, they saved our house. Thankfully, no one was in the car as the car was completely destroyed. Just a warning to parents what can happen. Yeah. And I suppose, you know, we have in the past, haven't we, as well, maybe left the child in the car seat and ran back in to grab the child's bag or something as well. So you don't want to think what could have happened, but it's it just goes to show these things can happen. Read the presidential election. Morning, Greg. I was down in Dublin at the weekend and spent our time in Malahide, Portmarnock, Donaghmede area. The place is cluttered in posters for Jim Gavin. Surely Fianna Fáil should be removing them, considering he's not in the race. Just something I noticed. But you see, he is in the race, so I wonder what's going on there. I do note too, some of the signs that were up around this area have been taken down. I'm not sure if they all have, but they've been active locally in taking them down. I'm told there's a bag of rubbish lying on the road at Foxhall by New Mills Glen Swilly. Motorists, please take care as it's on a bad bend. It could cause a collision. All right, be careful there. Hopefully it's been removed since or will be very shortly. Someone texting on property tax. Greg, I paid my property tax last night. I did it as a good citizen, but I'd really love to understand why as a homeowner on a house which I've worked hard to pay for, am I now paying the government for the luxury of owning it? It's no wonder no one in this country wants to work. It's a tricky one, the property tax, because it's not really for anything. It's not for services, you know, so you pay your rates in the north and, you know, there are services bundled with that. There's no mistaking that property tax really is used often as, you know, our funding towards major projects or what have you. We benefit more from property tax in this county than we pay because of an equalisation system. But at the end of the day, you are paying a tax on the home that you own, and it definitely is, because the more valuable your house is, the bigger the tax. People just get on with paying it, though, seemingly. You know, you would imagine it'd be much more controversial than it is. Resport. I was at an underage game in the county at the weekend, and I was shocked to see two parents attacking each other over a game decision. Parents who behave like this in the presence of so many children should face an automatic life ban from any of the games. What kind of an example is this to set to children? Also, if you're an adult, something like that there, it sounds like it could be really quite intimidating. In relation to a story that's in the papers today, the councils around the country have probed 1,600 Airbnb-style lets suspected of planning breaches. And I just thought it interesting for you to bring the Donegal figure. But I'll give you some background to the story. Around 1,600 properties have been investigated by councils as suspected illegal short-term lets in the last 3 years. In the majority of cases, the only enforcement action taken was the issuing of a warning letter to owners. Some received enforcement notices threatening legal action if they did not comply. Since July 2019, property owners in rent pressure zones have had to secure planning permission to provide short-term or holiday letting unless they rent out their home or a second property for less than 90 days. So in Donegal, the amount of investigations into suspected illegal short-term lets, 5 in 2023, 9 in 2024, 4 in 2025. Now, obviously, it will be interesting when the rent pressure zone is implemented across the country, what that will mean. Dublin, though, has the highest level of investigations, 302 in 23, 337 in 24, and 268 in 25. Still very low, though, compared to the amount of properties that are let in this fashion. Maybe you were approached by the council and you want to tell us off the record what it was about and what you had to do, or was there anything that came afterwards? Let us know if you want to, in confidence, 086 60 25000. That's the WhatsApp and text number. I want to say a happy 80th birthday to the best papa. He's Sammy McGee, and lots of love coming in to you, Sammy, from Ella and Will, and we'll join in your birthday good wishes, if that's okay. And a sum of money was found on Saturday on one of the beaches near the pier in Rathmullen. So if you were out and about in that area, you may have noticed that you've lost money. Well, a good Samaritan has it, and they will return it to you, obviously subject to a couple of checks. It's in the White House, the White Hart Bar in Rathmullen. We've a number here as well. So a sum of money found on Saturday on one of the beaches near the pier in Rathmullen. It's in the White Hart Bar in Rathmullen, and we have a number here if it's yours and you wish to make contact with them. Right, let's take a break. Good luck if you are playing the bingo today. Here are the numbers. So in case you missed it over the weekend, Lidl and Aldi, both announced a 10% decrease in the price of 2 litres of milk. Other chains, we understand, may now be under pressure to provide similar reductions. Milk, of course, is one of the staples, isn't it? So I think it's the first reduction in milk, certainly in Aldi, since 2023. So consumers will welcome that, but obviously every action has a reaction, and dairy farmers are raising concerns over that recent drop in milk prices in those supermarkets mentioned. Joe Sweeney's chair of the IFA in Donegal and is with me now. Hiya, Joe.
Hello, Greg. How are you doing?
Good. So this is good news for consumers. Why might it not be good news for farmers?
Well, you're right, Greg. It is good news for consumers, and I'm a consumer myself, buy the milk. But for farmers, just maybe to put it in context, that from the mid-90s in Ireland, now we're talking about Ireland, we had we have two different types of farmers. We have the farmers that supply liquid milk, and we have the farmers that calve cows in springtime and supply milk as well. But it's the liquid milk farmers that we're talking about. So from the mid-90s, we had 3,500 liquid milk farmers that supply milk all year round. So that gives the fresh milk all year round. It's a higher cost operation, because during the winter here we have 6 and 7 month winter. So there's a bigger cost, as you know. Out of that 3,500 we had in the mid 90s, now we're left with 1,200 in the whole country to supply that milk. So for that, there would be concerns from them farmers that if milk prices start to drop, they can't get the price they need to supply to make a profit. They're not going to be there.
Right. So do we know at this point if these supermarkets are looking to absorb this reduction, or will they expect the farmers to reduce the cost they receive for milk?
They're expecting the farmers to reduce the cost.
Wow.
The creameries have pulled the price in the last few weeks, maybe 3 cent, and there's another 3 cent going to be pulled again. So it's going to take it down now that the farmers just working at break even.
That's not a good business model. That's not a good business model, breaking even.
It's not a good business model. It's good for the consumer, but my thing is, like, why milk? Why not water? Why not soft drinks? Like, you know, milk is, you know, you can bottle water and you can bottle soft drinks, and there's actually no food value in it. It's only just like it gives you a feel good factor.
I suppose you framed it, the reason why it's milk is because they can get the PR, they can get the footfall, it can be a loss leader for them or whatever way you want to frame it, but it's farmers that pick up the tab.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's the farmers. And they,
like Coca-Cola is not going to take a 25 cent hit.
No. No, and the farmers, just they're just the low-lying fruit on the tree. But I think it's at the stage that there's going to be a backlash from it, because, like, what we're going to have is if we lose more of them 1,200 farmers, we're actually not going to have fresh milk all year round. And that's what happened in New Zealand. Like, the farmers in New Zealand went to spring calving. It's a lower cost, but for the consumers, there's not fresh milk all the time. And that's where we're going to go. It's the same as the beef. Like, we're losing 1 million cattle a year out of the EU. Beef, it's not there anymore. And the numbers are dropping. So it's just, like, I don't know. If it keeps going, somewhere along the line, there's going to be shortages. And this time it's going to be milk. It's going to be an all-year-round supply of fresh milk.
In terms of the fresh milk that we produce, you know, is it 100% into the Irish market, or do we export milk? And also, too, is there any milk imported that we may not be aware that we're not buying Irish milk?
Well, there would be some milk probably on the island of Ireland going north. Imports, I don't think so. I'm not sure. That's the question. I'm not sure, Greg.
No, that's fine. And I wouldn't expect you to know it, actually. But
I know some of our milk goes north to some of the co-ops there, especially the lads at like some Monaghan, Cavan, whatever, close to the border. But the liquid milk, we need all them producers of liquid milk to supply all year round. Mm. And like, you know, it's like this 47 cent a litre is the base price that the farmer gets for milk. They're reducing it by 10 cent to 120. I'm not sure the figures, 124 to to 119 or something. But when that milk goes to the co-op, they extract the fat and they extract the high end ingredients out of that milk. So then it's left with the milk. But there's like you have your milk powders and you have all that stuff comes out of the milk first. So like the problem I see is where is the money that's been made from the farmer to the price of the milk in the shop? Like you're going from 47 to 119, but the same time there's a whole lot of byproducts come out of the milk first before they get the 115. So like they're making, there's serious money being made on it, but like it's not the farmer that's making it because he has his all year work to get that 47. Yeah. And it's the consumer, they don't know. But like you know, it's like some of them supermarkets, like Super Value and that, with central distribution, they don't, the only time they touch the milk in the shop is when the girl checks it out at the checkout. So like there's no cost. It's all profit for them compared to the man that's producing it or the woman. Yeah.
And it kind of is difficult for the farmer too, because this kind of a move, it makes the shop look great and it kind of pitches the consumer against the farmer, because the consumer then thinks, well, farmers are making enough money anyway. You know yourself, it's the farmer that gets it every which way. Like,
yeah, the farmer takes the brunt of it, because it's easy to say, it's like everything in society, we blame someone else. It's good to have someone to blame, and at this time it's the farmer that's getting the blame, but it's far from it. Like he's just trying to make a living the same as everyone else. It's like you going to work today or me, and you get a pay cut at the end of the week. How long are you going to keep working? And that's the same thing. It's no difference. It's just like they have bills and they have creditors as well, so you know they need to get as much as they can. They have a family as well to support.
Yeah.
It's their livelihood.
I suppose with these reductions and then other derogations coming to an end and what have you, it's a real interesting time, not in a good way for Irish farming. Maybe more so in this space down the country, and with nitrate derogations going inevitably, I'm sure. Although they're being reduced or what have you, it's really squeezing. It's really squeezing the industry here, isn't it?
It's squeezing the industry. It really is. And like, okay, weather-wise, the year it was a reasonable year, but like the uncertainty in the future, and by the end of the year, them dairy farmers and derogation, they don't know if they're going to be able to hold what they have, or will they have to reduce? And if they reduce, their income's reduced. And you know, like it's. At the minute, it's serious. It's all regulation, like, and yeah.
The problem is, though, all the wind is going against Irish farming. You know, between the beef, as you mentioned, for most people, I think sheep farming at this point is almost a hobby unless you're doing it at a huge scale. Now we have, you know, a further retraction potentially from. In the dairy farmers, but when you look at the Mercosur deal and that type of stuff, there doesn't seem to be a European interest in, you know, retaining a European farming industry, not least an Irish farming industry, if you know what I mean. It seems to be, again, to use that phrase, the industry that we can throw under the bus for the bigger deals, so we can export cars to Brazil.
I think what it was, Greg, for too long and for too many years, the farmer took the rap for everything else. So when there was money to be cut, or there was something to be cut or whatever, it was the farmer that took it, and there was no real sort of rebellion towards what was happening. And now silently they went away, and the numbers have reduced, and they still haven't, the leaders still haven't realized in the countries that you know we're going to be short of food. They're not doing anything to address food security, and they're just throwing the baby out with the bathwater. They keep tapping away, and eventually the food's going to be...
Between the fishing industry, the farming industry, food security is so important. Like, let's not forget, going back to the, in inverted commas, famine time, the famine wasn't due to a shortage of food. It was our access to that food. You really do need to keep one eye on the past and one eye on the future. And you never know what might happen in this world that, you know, we would need to be able to feed ourselves. You know, and the ability to do that with every stroke is reducing all of the while.
Well, I'll put it like this, Greg. If we had, if there was a shortage of sort of oil tomorrow and we couldn't get food into the shops from the imported food, there's not enough food in this country to keep us living. Because, like, you're going back, if you went back in time to all the, they all produced vegetables, potatoes, that's all gone. So, like, all the farms now, it's sheep or grass or whatever, and even the livestock numbers aren't there. And they're not producing food like vegetables or potatoes or nothing like that because there was no market for it. There wasn't enough. They weren't getting enough.
Well, I would say a lot of people obviously as the specific conversation is about this milk reduction, but I'd say a lot of people learned for the first time that dramatic reduction in dairy farming, milk farming. All right, Joe, listen, thanks for your time. We'll watch on with interest. Look after yourself. Joe Sweeney, Chair of IFA Donegal. And of course, listen, we can look at it on the face of it. Anything that reduces that shopping bill is to be welcomed, isn't it? But it's going to be at the expense of farmers, and many of you are farmers that are listening today. Refarming, a listener says, my friend from Venezuela drank milk all her life. When she came to Ireland, she could not drink Irish milk because it caused her to become very sick. The doctors told her she was allergic to the stuff in Irish milk. She had to buy her milk in the Moldova shop. Can you please ask the IFA rep, what is this stuff in Irish milk? Well, it depends what she was allergic to. It could simply be stuff, doesn't need to be negative. It could be something in our milk that she's not accustomed to. Were dairy farmers allocated the surplus of recent EU funding, and how much was that? I didn't see that, but we can dig the information out on that. A caller says the IEEC number on your bottle of milk needs to be checked when buying your milk. Remember, buying the cheap milk is feeding other countries and not supporting your Irish farmer. From a position of ignorance, I am not sure where the milk I buy comes from, if you know what I mean. I didn't know, do we import much milk? It's something I'll research. If you don't have the answer, I'll research myself. I do hope you had a great weekend. There was so much happening, as we listed on Friday, of wonderful events happening around the country, around the county, more specifically for us, raising awareness and raising funds, and really, really well supported. Myself, Aisling and Hudson were at the Cars and Coffee event in Carrigart, and it was packed with beautiful cars and lots of coffee, lots of tea, lots of baking as well. As I say, really well supported in that community and hopefully raising lots of money and awareness for Donegal Down syndrome. And I know there was events all over the place too. And I hope there were big crowds because we're really good at backing each other and supporting each other, as was evident at the weekend. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25,000. Or if you prefer, give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Now, Baby Loss Awareness Week is running at the moment. It started on the 9th and runs to the 15th of October. It's a profoundly important time dedicated to remembering and commemorating babies who are much loved and deeply missed. It provides a vital opportunity for everyone impacted by baby loss to come together as a community to acknowledge their loss, share their grief and find support. And we have two guests with us. Nina Doyle is Regional Coordinator of Filacan Stillbirth and Neonatal Death Support. Nina, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for the invitation.
And we're also in conversation with Leanne Doohan from Buncrana, who will be telling us her situation shortly. Good morning to you, Leanne.
Good morning, Greg. Hi,
thanks,
Nina.
So much for joining us. Nina, talk to me about the importance of this week. I know I did touch on it there, but I just want to hear it from you.
I suppose, yeah, the importance of the week is about raising awareness. I think for Leanne, who's going to talk about Alice, and myself, as parent to Liam and Grace, we don't need special weeks to remember our precious babies. But I suppose for the wider community, for people, this week is so important. It's about letting people know the importance of saying our babies' names, of the importance of remembering our babies, and the fact that we want them to be remembered and we want to celebrate our precious babies. So I think weeks like this really are about raising awareness and moving away from the darkness in the past, where stillbirth, there was kind of a taboo around it, and there was, you know, and I think it's allowing people to have conversations and to, you know, letting people know that we want to talk about our babies and giving them, you know, the language that they can use, and, you know, enabling people to be able to support us.
Nina, do you come across phraseology or tropes from, you know, people, not mean-spirited or what have you, or do people who have suffered stillbirth or even a miscarriage or a late-term miscarriage or at any point, whereby, you know, people think they might be saying the right thing but say the wrong thing?
Of course, of course. And I suppose a lot of the time it's people, it's, you know, people can say it, but I don't think they mean to hurt you. And that's why weeks like this, where we tell people it's exactly what we would like to hear. You know, sometimes people don't want to say your baby's name in case they upset you. And I suppose we want to let people know that we're upset anyway. And by you saying their name, you're not upsetting us. You know, you're giving us the opportunity to talk about them. You bring them alive for us in that moment. And again, as well, there's so much fear around it. I remember when my own babies died, you know, I'd be walking down the road and you'd see somebody coming towards you and you'd be getting ready to talk to them, and next of all they were gone. And I knew it wasn't that people didn't care. It was that people were so afraid of saying the wrong thing. And, you know, in many ways, one of the things I remember my husband saying at the time was, someone came up and just shook his hand and said, "I have no words." And that was all he needed. It's acknowledgement. So it's not about saying the right thing, you know.
But that's just being completely honest. I don't know what to say. Can you talk to us a little bit about Liam and Grace before we bring Leanne into the conversation?
Yeah, so I suppose Liam and Grace were born in 2018 and they made me a mum, and I'm just so proud to be their mum. Liam died just before he was born, so Liam was classed as a stillbirth. And then Grace came breathing into the world and lived for 31 minutes. She lay on my chest breathing. And I suppose I'm just so proud to be Liam and Grace's mum, and I love talking about them and I love sharing them. And I want them to have a legacy. Do you know, I want, you know, for two little people that never put a foot on the ground, you know, it's so nice that I get opportunities like this to talk about them, because I want them to be remembered and I want them to be celebrated.
Yeah, of course. Leanne Doohan, as I mentioned, is with us, mum to Alice. It's almost 13 years since Alice came into your life, Leanne.
Yes, indeed. In some ways, it feels like only yesterday, but yeah, remember it like it was yesterday. And like that, she made us parents, and we were as proud as any new parents in the hospital or in Ireland that day. You have the love and the grief alongside each other. It's just so bizarre. You couldn't expect it or you couldn't explain it, but you're just so proud of them. And just
because you,
wee baby.
You lost Alice in the womb, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I did. So I knew that she had died before she was born. And so in so many ways, I'm grateful for that, because it gave us a little bit of time to get our heads around it and make some plans for our wishes. And I know not everyone gets that opportunity, but we had just, it was a, you know, I was having a great pregnancy. It was 2012, first pregnancy. Couldn't believe my luck, how well it was going. No real sickness, no real issues. And just one Sunday, we were having a bit of a lazy Sunday, and kind of by late morning, I was saying, I don't know if this baby's been moving as much. She must be having a wee rest and all that. And not really, like, I just wouldn't have been tuned in to, you know, that this could even happen. And just thought it was having a rest. And then by afternoon, I was starting to, you know, change position and drink a fizzy drink and try and get some movement, give it a bit of a prod. But there was nothing. And so it was a Sunday. We had nothing else on. We said, let's get it checked out. Let's go to the hospital just for reassurance. And, you know, we'll be back by evening time and our minds will be at ease and everything will be fine. Not really thinking that there was anything wrong. I was 27 weeks at this point, so in my mind, the danger zone had passed. just, you know, the naivety. But we went to the hospital and we were just, you know, no one, and I've been back to the hospital with other pregnancies since, no one ever makes you feel like you're wasting their time or that you're being silly. They took it so seriously. And yeah, they took me in to scan, just to scan to see what was happening. And I could just see the baby on the screen. And I had had previous ultrasounds where there's a wriggly baby and I could just see her. And no one was speaking, no one was saying anything. And I said, is there a heartbeat? And the doctor said, no,
God,
madam.
That must have been so traumatic for
yeah,
you, Leanne.
It was very just like, and then, you know, of course, we made them take us to another machine and try another machine. And yeah, we came out of that hospital very, very different to the way we walked into it. Yeah.
The thing about this as well is lots of people listening will be able to relate to it in different ways at different
yeah.
parts of the pregnancy. It'll be, but in terms of your loss, you suffered the loss of a child.
Yes.
Do you think people get that you or those around you that you lost one of your children, if that if you understand where I'm holding
yeah,
phrase
yeah, I
correctly.
Do, and I and again, that's where I think it sounds silly to say we're lucky, but you count your blessings. I'm so glad that we got to take her home. She was in a little coffin. We got to have her in the house for a night with us. You know, we sat her on our bedside locker. We had a burial. We now have a grave. We have. You know, we have something not tangible, but you know, we have somewhere to go, and we have her name written everywhere. The stage that she was at, it meant we got, you know, a stillbirth certificate, and since that, things have changed where we actually have a birth certificate for her. So I think, and plus we're very, you know, we have a photo of her on our mantelpiece. We're very, it's not that we're always talking about her, you know,
but she's ever present.
She's a part of our lives, you know.
Yeah,
we,
yeah.
Our other children, you know, everyone knows that that's our second, third and fourth children, you know. So, but I think, you know, sometimes there's the silent losses as well, where people have lost earlier in pregnancy, or maybe they themselves might not even have realised they were pregnant. And I think they're the ones that go under the radar a bit, and
yeah.
people suffer more silently.
And I think the language can be even more accidentally horrible, if I could put it like
yeah.
that, like, you know, well, you can go again, or...
Yeah, or, oh, well, you were yeah. only at this stage, or, yeah. oh, well, you know, so... yeah, we had a fully formed little baby, you know, we have photos. So that I think that helps with other people understanding your loss as well. But yeah, it comes at all different, you know, stages of gestation. It comes, you know,
yeah.
with Nina, like after birth, there's so much, and it's all different, but it's still the same loss, you know. And like, as you say, Nina, someone just saying to you, I'm sorry for your loss, that just means so much. You're like, wow, you're
validates it.
You yeah. count my baby, you know. And that's what weeks like this just bring up again. As you say, yeah. we don't need it, but other people, like, awareness is great. And sometimes people think, oh, don't scare any, you know, pregnant people or anything, but I always think, you know, awareness isn't going to do any harm, but maybe lack of awareness could
it
you know,
is,
so
yeah.
awareness.
And I think anyone who's
help.
Been pregnant and goes through the process, you get the living daylights put up you at every turnaround
yeah.
anyway, don't you? So
if someone asked you, do you gamble? And you said no, they say, but do you have pregnancies? Yes.
Yes,
like,
so.
It's just...
yeah. And language, sometimes with the best will in the world, you know, they cover everything in some of the language, and you're like, what did
yeah.
you say? What did you mean by that? What does this mean? Is
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Nina, you know, I also think there's a cohort of people as well that these kind of weeks are very important for, is that even in a relationship or within a family, you might have different attitudes to what a loss is, be it a stillbirth or a miscarriage at different terms. You know what I mean? That you could have maybe even the mom and dad viewing it different ways. And that means the person who maybe feels it on the level that we're talking about now might feel they have to blunt how they feel. Does that make sense, Nina? And I think this is a good week for maybe those people to sort of step out and make themselves feel better in some form or other.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's about respecting people where they're at, you know, and I think it's about honouring where people are at. But at the same time, I think there's such a shift at the moment. I mean, within Felicon, you know, I'm talking to bereaved parents all the time. And sometimes there's this expectation that it doesn't affect the man as much or that the dad isn't as affected. And actually what we see in Felicon is quite the opposite. It's just that there's an expectation sometimes on the dad to be strong or to be seen as supporting his partner. And again, in Felicon, where often we see is that after an amount of time, that then the dad would naturally have that kind of, would start feeling the loss. And sometimes it could be just as the mom is starting to get that little bit stronger. So you might find that there's a little bit of a yo-yo within a relationship and you're able to support each other at different times. But again, within Felicon, you know, there's supports for dads. There's a Felicon football team now. So we were finding the dads weren't coming along to the meetings, but we set up a football team where they could come along, kick a ball around, and everyone there has had the sad loss of a baby. So you might not want to say their name or you might not want to talk, but at least you know you're with people who understand, who get it. And there's something about being around somebody who gets it. But I think there's a little bit of a shift, there's a little bit of a change, and people are recognizing that the dads are just equally as important as the mums.
So on Wednesday, the 15th of October in Ireland, 124 buildings will light up between 7pm and 8pm, showing colours of blue and pink. In Donegal, there are seven buildings that we know of to light up, including Letterkenny University Hospital and a number of public services buildings. And maybe people have their own lights they can you know, maybe something in the windowsill might just make a big difference to a neighbour who sees it on the way past or something, Leanne.
Yeah, and you see it, people share it on social media as well. And I always think it's lovely when I see support from people who haven't lost a baby. You know that they're supporting us. So, yeah, that I see that growing every year. More and more people say, oh, I must light the candle at 7pm on Wednesday evening, you know. And, yeah, that just, you don't even have to say anything. That just shows that people support you, which is lovely.
Felicon.ie is the website, isn't it? What kind of supports are there?
Whatever you need, to be honest. I mean, we have our support line, which is 085-249-6464. And again, you're talking to a bereaved parent. So when you pick up the phone, you know, you're talking to somebody who's just going to get it. That will meet you where you are. That will be honoured and delighted to hear about your precious baby. We have a number of support meetings. They're both online and in person. We have remembrance services. I've already touched on the dads, but I'd also like to say we have support for the long ago bereaved. And I'm so conscious of, and Leanne touched on it there about being lucky, which sounds a little bit strange as a bereaved parent. But I think myself and Leanne would both feel that we're lucky that she's able to talk about Alice. I'm able to talk about Lehman Grace. But for the long ago bereaved, it's never too late if you want to say their name.
Do you know, I think, I'm thinking about if this was my mum's situation, going back some bit, and I've lost my mum since, I can imagine her having a little book somewhere or a little drawer or something that she might go and visit when she needs to. And I'm not sure in our family, which was there's nothing, I think, strange about this, where it would have sort of, you know, we would have had pictures on the mantelpiece or something. I don't know. Do you know, I think every family is different, but I can imagine there are mums out there and dads as well who, you know, that they can relate to this conversation, but they have a memory box or something.
Yeah, they might have kept whatever small bits they had from the hospital, you know, whether it be a wristband or if they didn't have that, they might have kept, you know, something that just marked that time. Yeah, it is so important.
Okay.
It's part of the healing. You need that for the healing as well.
What do you say? Well, we heard from someone who went up to Nina, all you have to say is I've no words. And that, rather than crossing the street with the best will in the world, you know, sometimes that's enough. I think these are amazing. Honestly, I hope that's not patronising.
No.
That you're able to, I just think these are amazing, to be honest with you. And so it feels like brave. I don't know what the right way to describe it is. I hope I could be as brave as you are and to honour the children, your children, like you did today. So if you can light something safely, light a candle, you know, you can get battery operated candles now, and maybe you've got the outside lights or whatever it might be. Just remember on Wednesday, you can join. And maybe, as I say, it might be the little indication that you understand from a neighbour that might be important to them. It's between 7 and 8 p.m. showing the colours of blue and pink. And as we heard also from Leanne now, we all have social media, don't we? And a little post along those lines would help as well. So just to recap, Nina, Felacan, which is butterfly, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, Felacan,
yeah, felacan.ie. So that's felacan.ie. And there's a support line as well. We'll link both on our socials as well. But for now, Nina Doyle, mum to twins Liam and Grace, would be, that's 2018, okay, so they would be, or they are, I don't know how you phrase it, seven and a half now, okay, and almost, would be almost 13, Alice, who's Leanne.
Yes, almost a teenager.
Doohan's firstborn. All right, ladies, listen, thank you so very much.
Thanks so much.
Helping getting the word out there. All right, take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Leanne. Look after yourself and best wishes to all. And as I say, conversations like that, of course, too, can be very rewarding if you can relate and maybe you feel that you can sort of do something that helps your situation. Or they can be very difficult as well. I understand that, because everyone with loss and bereavement can be at different places. But if you want to speak to other people that exactly understand what you're going through, felacan.ie, their support line is 085. 249-6464, like amazing strength in being able to, and it's amazing, it's great that they're able to speak so lovingly and openly about their babies. So just to recap on that last conversation, and the ladies we were speaking to there, Baby Loss Awareness Week runs to the 15th, and on the 15th, that's Wednesday, it marks International Pregnancy and Infant Loss Remembrance Day. And that's when you can make the little post on your social media or put a little something in the window of your house or what have you. A caller says, I'm very touched with your work. I had a baby born sleeping in 1964 and we weren't allowed to talk about it. Well done, ladies. I'm proud of you. Great work. I think that's your situation, and I'm so sorry you went through that, and I'm very happy that you've honoured us by remembering your baby with us. That was perhaps what may have happened in the past, that you were to suck it up and move on and pray and get over it or something along those lines. And I'm not saying it was done with any malice, but it just was the way things seemed to have been in some houses. A caller says, when I had an early miscarriage quite a number of years ago, I baptised, waked and buried my baby by myself. It's nice to have this week in memory of these babies who died prematurely. Thank you, Felacan, for showing the love and value of all of our babies' lives. And listen, remember your babies with us as well too, if you want. More than happy to accommodate that in this week or at any time whatsoever. And I'm sorry that you had to do that yourself. That's heartbreaking is the only way I can describe it. Or maybe it's in your situation, it's wonderful. I don't want to presume what that must have been like for you. Okay, we've been talking about domestic appliances going on fire. It happens more often than you'd imagine, you know. Bridget says, my washing machine almost went on fire 2 months ago. Most scariest 5 minutes of my life. It was 2 weeks after it was apparently fixed. Where can you buy a fire extinguisher? I had one, but the warranty on them is only about 2 years. There's lots of local suppliers, I can imagine. But listen, where would you get a domestic fire extinguisher? I'm going to go and get one myself, and a fire blanket as well for our house. So where would you get one? Where's the right place to get one? You know, the hardware stores are going to have them, aren't they? But also check they're in date. And check, maybe today we can all check our fire alarms to make sure that they haven't expired either. Because the reason they expire is how effective they are at detecting smoke. So there's no point thinking we're protected when we're not. So apparently it's written on the fire alarms. Let's get our fire alarms checked. And maybe I never really thought of having a fire extinguisher in the house, and now I'm certainly thinking along those lines. Yvonne says, my friend's washing machine went on fire. It was a few months old. Only she came up from the yard for a cuppa. I dread to think what would have happened. I switch off all appliances before leaving the house. Yeah, but whilst you're doing that, and that's excellent, Yvonne, some of us then are putting the washing machine, dishwasher or dryer on at night. You know, when you see some ads sort of saying that that's when the cheapest electricity is, and it's very concerning. I'm in my 50s and so scared of fireworks and bangers being thrown and not knowing where they're going to land. Have respect, says a listener. Yeah, indeed. You know, and I do sometimes think that people don't realise how this can affect people or pets. You know, bangers going off, dogs running off and all the stress that that can cause. The caller also says, I live in a council house. We've got smoke and heat and carbon monoxide alarms, but the council should apply or supply fire blankets and fire extinguishers too, I personally think. It's an interesting one because we heard from Paul Canning, and I didn't think to ask this question, about how tenants, if you were to rent your house privately, right, that you the fire regs would kick in there. So you'd imagine if you're in a council house, Does the council have a responsibility, or should they have a responsibility to ensure, firstly, that all the alarms are working, but also that there are fire extinguishers and blankets available in what I suppose are effectively their properties?